Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I love the season of Advent for all sorts of reasons. One, it's wintry time and the air is cooler and crisper and sometimes a little wetter, and that's good. We need that. I love it because there's all sorts of lights all over the place. And, you know, houses decorated and places decorated. I love the music of Advent. There's all sorts of reasons. One of the main reasons that I love Advent, especially when it comes to the scriptures, is that it gives us this panoramic view of the life of Christ and our place in his story. The reason I say it gives us a panoramic view is because we can look to the past as we get ready for Christmas and the celebrating the birth of Christ in his manger and all of that excitement. As when we were kids, it probably was a little bit more exciting, although it's still a thrill to celebrate Christmas. We look at it as looking back at the past and then at the same time looking ahead to the future and the coming of Christ in his second advent as he comes as king and savior. And then in the meantime, in between both, we look at our place in his story today. Our reading from our first Sunday in Advent is always a Palm Sunday reading. And I know I say this every year, but there's this part of me that says, why in the world do we do Palm Sunday on the first week of Advent? Because we're not even celebrating Christ being born yet, and here we are at his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And I think it's because Advent is that time of the panoramic view of Christ. We're not just looking at it as a chronological story, we're looking at it as the entire view that God gives us in this glimpse of Christ. And so here, in our triumphal entry, we hear the proclamation of Jesus as coming king, as expected savior. Now, we can probably say with reasonable certainty that many of the disciples had no idea what Jesus was really there to do. They fully expected, as we always say, they fully expected a earthly king. They expected Jesus to take the throne and make Jerusalem once again, the center of the world. That's what they were expecting. And so when they see Jesus riding into Jerusalem on the humble donkey, as most of the kings would do upon a peaceful entry into a city, they would ride on something more humble. It wasn't always a large horse or a legion of camels or anything like that. It sometimes was a very lowly and humble ride into the city. And so Jesus is doing this, and they're expecting the coming king. And so listen to them proclaim as they do, as the multitude of his disciples begin to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." They're fully expecting this wonderful, reigning King Jesus to take his place on the throne. And why shouldn't they? That's what they'd been expecting all along. That's what they'd been hoping to see all along. This is not surprising. What will surprise them later is what we celebrate on Good Friday. That throne that Jesus takes looks a lot different than the throne that they were expecting him to take. But listen again to that proclamation. The multitude of his disciples, "Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Now, as we hear that, thinking of Advent, there ought to be another chorus ringing in our ears. Can you hear it? Can you hear the other multitude praising God and saying peace on earth and goodwill to men? Can you hear that chorus? It's the angel chorus. Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Again, we hear, and we will turn to it to be absolutely sure we're getting it right. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." So the multitude once again, that's the past, the angel chorus, the multitude praising God, and glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. And now as Jesus enters into Jerusalem, the multitude once again, but not angels this time, it's the multitude of the disciples, the multitude of those who had followed him. It's the same words that Luke uses to describe both groups, the multitude. Another thing to say is so many that you couldn't count them. All of them. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest, the multitude praising God for the coming King. Now, whether they knew the king was going to do what he was going to do is irrelevant at this point. It's the praise of the coming king, the praise of God for the king coming to us. So the multitude of the heavenly host praises God for the salvation that's going to come through Christ. The multitude of disciples praising God for the reign of the king that they were expecting. The past. Present, now what multitude? What multitude now praises God? What multitude now gathers together to praise God for the salvation that comes through Christ, the reigning King that he is, and the expectation of his reappearance? What multitude? The multitude of the people of God. This is our part. This is our time to do the multitude thing. Praising God, giving glory to God, not only for the birth of Christ, not only for the death and resurrection of Christ, but also for the expectation of his return. That's what Advent is about. That's why this is so exciting as a panorama of who Jesus is for us. But let's not just leave it hanging out there. Let's not just kind of expect us to do all of the work in this case. Let's turn to the next multitude. Revelation chapter 5. The chapter of the scroll and the lamb. Chapter 5, verse 11. "Then I looked," John says, "I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb who is slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.'" And then not just the elders and the angels, but I heard every creature, it says, in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them. Talk about a multitude. Every creature saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." And the four living creatures said, "Amen," and the elders fell down and worshiped. This is the panorama of which we are part, of which the children of God are called to be part of the multitude, giving glory to him and praise for his salvation that comes to you today. The salvation that is yours. The salvation of which you are a part. The story of Jesus, past, present, and future. It's here. That's why Advent is Advent. That's why the expectation is the expectation. That's why the anticipation is tangible. We're waiting and excited. Not waiting and sleeping, but waiting and praising. Waiting and giving glory to God for all that he has done for us through Christ. So this Advent season, we join the multitude. the multitude of the heavenly host, the multitude of disciples, and the multitude of every living creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, we join voices in giving glory to God for his Son Jesus. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.